Yeah, we get to do this with a new generation, which is cool. So some of the things that I was making tonight, okay. Everybody's taller than me. Can you put that down? I was at the Naval Academy and Tom was doing the memorial service. This has nothing to do with this talk. You know, everybody at the Naval Academy is just so tall. And so about six men got up, and then a man like 5'4" got up. And he had to go. And then he went. Like he was used to that, as am I. Okay. Wow, you got a little step stool for me?
Oh, we got a whole new one.
So nice. Well, this kind of breaks the ice for me because I've done it all now. But let me ask you a question. This has gotten my heart going a little bit too. What is your reaction when you hear that there are 51 days until Christmas? Mm-hmm. Do you panic, break out in a sweat, or does your heart leap and you think, I just can't wait? Or, like most of us, we're probably somewhere in between. Well, in our home, we start thinking about Christmas in January. So the first person to text the family and say on the 25th, 11 months till Christmas, you know, has bragging rights for that whole month. And that is a good thing if you're that one to do it. But you know what? Not everybody shares that enthusiasm. I remember one year when I was working at the school, I walked into the school office and went, 11 months till Christmas. And they glared at me. I thought I was bearing great news to them, but they did not think the same thing. Well, I wasn't prepared for that, you know, because I think Christmas is the most wonderful time of the year. Well, when our children were younger, the ages of your children, you know, became Tom and my responsibility to make Christmas what we wanted it to be. We wanted it to have that special touch and the dazzle of Christmas. You know, there's something really special about that Christmas morning. But like many homes, I know it kind of rests on the mom to do most of the work. And our list is a mile long. We've got stockings to fill and presents to do. We've got meals to make, cookies to make, teachers' gifts to buy. So if we're not careful, our list of things to do becomes like a mile long. And our to-do list can rob us of the joy of the season and make Christmas less exciting than it really should be. And so when we're really, really busy, that's when we get stressed and we become some type of a holiday tyrant, barking out orders and forgetting the holidays are family time, family events, and we need to have our children be a part of the planning and the execution. Thank you. Some of you know that there's a sheep going along. So if you want to take some notes. Well, like I said, or was said in the introduction, I learned after a few years of really bombing it, that I couldn't do it all, that there would be thousands of great ideas to do out there. And you know, I mean, mentor moms, you can remember, we did not have Pinterest back then. We had to look at a magazine or find something in a book, and we really had to do our homework. Now, I think though, the problem is that you have at your fingertips a bazillion things to do, and then you kind of lose some time because you're so involved in what you're doing on Pinterest that, you know, that can rob you of time too. So knowing that there would be thousands of good ideas, I had to pick what was right for us, what was right for me as a mom. I had to put aside that just perfect, you know what I'm talking about. But I became like Goldilocks, I think. Not too many, not too little, just right. And as we celebrate the holidays, I believe we do fall somewhere between Martha Stewart and Irma Bombeck. Here's some notes they wrote to each other. Hi, Irma. This perfectly delightful note is being sent on paper I made myself to tell you what I've been up to. Since it snowed last night, I got up early and made a sled of barn wood and a glue gun. Then, to make the sled complete, I made a white horse to pull it from some extra DNA I had just lying around on my craft room. Well, by then, though, it was time to make my standard Stuart 12-course breakfast for my 20 guests. I didn't have time to make the tables and chairs this morning. That's a little secret for you. So I used the ones I had on hand. Well, I need to go. My breakfast guests are almost here, but I hope they don't stay too long. I have 40,000 cranberries to string with bay leaves before my speaking engagement at noon today. It's a good thing. Love, Martha. Dear Martha, I'm writing this in the back of an old shopping list. Pay no attention to the coffee and jelly stains. I'm 20 minutes late getting my daughter off to school, packing a lunch with one hand. On the phone with the dog pound, seems old Ruff needs bailing out again. Burnt my arm on the curling iron when I was trying to make those cute curly fries. How do they do that? Still can't find the scissors to cut out some snowflakes, tried to use an old disposable razor. Trashed the tablecloth. Tried that cranberry thing, frozen cranberries mashed up become mush after they've been defrosted in the microwave. Oh, and don't use Fruity Pebbles as a substitute for the Rice Krispies snowball recipe, unless you like food that resembles, you know what. Smoke alarm is going off. Talk to you later. So I dare say we probably find ourselves on one side, towards one side or the other. But tonight I want to think about ways that we can make Thanksgiving and Christmas meaningful, but also manageable. So bear with me now as I share some of the things, but I want you to understand, I did not do all these things. I definitely didn't do them all the time every year. I was busy just like you are busy. And so don't think that I'm advocating you do one of these or you're shirking your responsibility. I think it would be great if you thought of one or two things, if you need something in your arsenal. Some of you could be up here teaching better than I can, okay? It's just that they needed somebody to fill this slot. So here I am. So please keep in mind what's good for you. So but like I said, I didn't do these things every year, but in some ways I really wish I had. But I had little ones too, and we all know that time is such a limited commodity when you have little ones underfoot. There's so many things I wanted to do, but I just ran out of time. How wonderful it would have been if somebody had done some of the prep work for me. So that's why I have done this for you. Most of what's up here will be given away tonight. And all these ideas that I'm talking about tonight, I think are pretty simple and pretty family friendly. But they do need some preparation. Not complicated, just preparation. So in my life, I've come up with 4 P's, so I don't fly by the seat of my pants, which I'm very capable of trying to do, but not very successfully. So the first P is to pray. Pray about what you're going to do. Ask God to order your steps and proclaim Him well during the holidays. Pray for guidance on how much to do. God knows you better than you know yourselves. So join Him in prayer and say, how much can I do? Guide me so that I do it well. And then after you pray, then you plan. Plan the things that you'd like to do. So you prayed, you planned, and now you're going to prepare. That's when you gather all the things that you need. So when the time is right, you have all that you need. And then the final thing is to perform. You make the craft, or you read the Advent, you visit your neighbors, whatever it is to complete what you have planned to do. Now tonight, I'm going to use an acronym. And because when we get really stressed and we try to do more than we should do, we've got to remember, do you know that acronym KISS? It stands for Keep It Simple, Stupid, but that would be so inappropriate for me tonight. So we're going to be more dignified, and we're going to keep it simple, sisters. So join me for the K. K is for keep the main thing the main thing. Now, some years ago, I read this. I thought it was pretty funny. Sad and funny at the same time. You know what I'm talking about here. It seems that the London Transport Authority received numerous complaints because their buses were driving past their customers who were waiting at the bus stop. Well, when they received a lot of complaints, they were finally forced to tell, why is this happening? Their reply in the newspaper was, it's impossible for us to remain on schedule if we are always having to stop to pick up passengers. So somehow along the line, they lost their focus. They forgot to keep the main thing the main thing. Is that like us sometimes? In the midst of our busyness, we can forget our little ones along the way. As I look at the responsibilities that God gives to parents, I can't help but think about Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 9. The Israelites are about to enter the promised land, and Moses is telling his people, basically, listen up, I got something important to tell you. And he lets them know that God's commandments are to be in their hearts. They need to know God's word, and when they know it, that's when they need to pass it on to their children. Well, talk to them when you sit at home. Remember this part? Hear, O Israel, the Lord is one. You love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. And then he goes, this is God, impress them on your children. Talk to them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road and when you lie down and when you get up. And it could continue, and when you prepare for Thanksgiving and Christmas, and your company is coming, and the decorations need to be made, and your children are underfoot, you get the picture. God wants us to know him, and then to pass on what we know to our children. He is the main thing. And in his perspective, our main thing is to pass on what we know about him and his son, Jesus Christ, to our children. So in preparing for this, I Googled keep the main thing, the main thing. I was amazed by the number of hits I got on that. There were sermons, there were books, there were articles. But the one that spoke to me the most was from a life coach. And this is what he said. Create an environment that consistently reminds you of your original purpose and your intended ultimate outcome. Now, our environment is our home. And one of our original purposes, like Moses, is to focus on God and pass what we know about him on to our children. We let God's word pour into us so that we can share it with our children. So let's look at Thanksgiving and Christmas through the lens of keeping the main thing the main thing. For Thanksgiving, here are some suggestions now. What about reading Psalm 100? Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with thanksgiving. Enter his courts with praise. There are five verses. I imagine if you really worked on it, depending on the ages of your children, you could memorize that psalm. How cool would that be, to be like something that's part of your tradition? Tell or read them about the first Thanksgiving. Help them to understand how our country, you know, founded on God and how they gave thanks to God for their freedoms that they had. Now, one of the things that, true or not true, I don't know, but we used it, we read about it, but you've heard about the five kernels of corn. So we used to put five kernels of dried corn by their plates, not from the can. And then we'd go around and each person would share one item that they were thankful to God for, and then we'd go around and then the next person did. So by the end of the meal, each person had told five things for which they were thankful for God. And that was a tradition we kept up for several years. Another way to celebrate Thanksgiving with your family is to, in the spirit of Thanksgiving, give. And our church does Thanksgiving boxes. And how about picking up one? And you can do it as your family does it. But if that's a stretch on your budget, why not get two families together or three families? And each person, you know, each family brings something so that you have a completed box. Just like you guys did tonight with the angel tree? No.
Operation.
Thank you. Operation Christmas Child. I mean, that was something that you did with your children so they'd understand giving to those that have nothing or have less than much less than they do. And the same thing with the Thanksgiving box. It's shocking for our kids to realize that there are people that go to bed hungry at night. So that's something you could do. The next thing is a Thanksgiving tree. Now, there's a few things I have over here. I'm afraid to move, but I would love to be able to. Okay. So one of the things that we did every year was work on a Thanksgiving tree, and I made the leaves, and we'd write what we were thankful for and then make a beautiful tree out of that. That's one of the things. This one is one that's made by, and that's, if you need things to know how to do anything, Oriental Trading Company will help you out more than you ever wanted. But this is the same idea as a Thanksgiving tree, a thankful tree. This is another type. And then if that's not enough, you can make your own thankful wreath. You can glue these onto this, and eventually if you did it, you could write what your kids said to you, like on the Sharpie, and write on top of the leaves things they're thankful for. That's pretty neat to see it in writing, you know, so that they, you know, you can review it before you pack it away. Now, some of you will pack it away and some of you will pitch it. That's okay. There's a new year coming. Now, for Christmas, one must, I think, is a manger scene, a nativity scene that kids can touch. I got, this one's over 40 years old. I felt like my mom gave it to me for Christmas before I was even married, but to me, that was like the best gift ever. And my kids have played with it, my grandkids have played with it, and it has stood the test of time. You can get that in Little People manger scenes, you can get it in VeggieTales manger scenes, you can find just about anything. But I think you don't want to have to work with the glass ones that you know, the nice ones that you got from Italy or something, you don't want that. But it's fun to see them, you know, talk back and forth with the characters or move them around and so on. And like mentioned before, some people don't put Jesus out till later, but do what you can. And some people don't want the wise men there because they really came later, all that kind of thing that makes your family your family. One of the things we loved to do was to put one of these next to each person's plate setting. And then we'd say to the kids, so what do you think the donkey was saying the night Jesus was born? What do you think the star was saying when it's shown over the stable at Bethlehem? What do you think Mary was thinking? It is so fun to tap into their minds and see how they're thinking about the nativity scene. Another one to do, and I was telling to Heather, for $40 you can buy it online, but I made my own for you guys, or some two of you. But this is Jesus, baby Jesus, in some hay. Well, when our kids were little, we used to have the empty manger, and we would say to them, let's make Jesus a bed of hay, nice, soft hay. Every time you do a good deed or you're kind to somebody, you can put a stalk of hay into the manger. The idea is you're really hoping that it gets really full, so you've got a fluffy bed for Jesus when he arrives on Christmas morning. But the thing is, we don't want to tell people what we've done. It's just between you and the Lord. So when you make your sister's bed, don't tell anybody. Just put a piece of straw in the manger. Or when you're kind to somebody that nobody's kind to at school, come home and put a piece of hay in there. That will get them thinking that what they can do for Jesus, that they're serving him that way. As talked about, which I will just go, the Advent wreath is one way. Bookstores are full of ideas. Have you ever considered with your neighbors having a birthday party for Jesus? That would be a cool way to reach your neighbors. And a birthday cake. Now, when I had a birthday cake for Jesus when my kids were little, it was just any cake, you know. But now there are directions for the proper way to make a birthday cake for Jesus. So directions are on here. Tells you how to decorate it. A little bit of freedom there. But how cool it is that each thing represents sin, death. Or not death, no, that would be wrong. But the sacrifice of Jesus. And we were really honest with our kids now. So that might be something fun to do with your children. Right now, what we use is the Entenmann's coffee cake with a candle on it because it's just simpler, and that's what our kids prefer right now. Things change over the years. What you've done with your 2-year-old, you may not be doing with your 6 or your 10 or your 15-year-old. So be open to some new ideas, but they'll let you know when you need to keep the same tradition. And one of the things I really, really liked doing with our kids was stocking for Jesus. You know, he's who we're celebrating at Christmas. And in there, I would have a slip of paper and the kids would write, you know, "Dear Jesus, this year for Christmas, I'm giving you, you know, more time with you. I'm going to pray more. I'm going to read my Bible more." Their hopes of their gift that they will give to Jesus. So this is an iron-on. How many people don't have an iron here? I'm impressed. Okay, Heather, only one. I am so impressed. I thought the whole thing, you know, like, so if you have an iron, you can iron on. But look at this. These are stickers, and they still worked, and they work well for the size of the little piece of paper you want to put in there. So there's some ways to make a big stocking or a little stocking for Jesus. That is the gift that we all need to give Jesus, adults too. This is not just for children. Be thinking of what you would give Jesus this year. So the I now is invest in traditions and family. And traditions make each family unique. This is what we do as a family, but that's what you do as a family. So my traditions don't have to be yours, but it's nice to share because maybe you'll find something that we could do that. And hopefully at your tables, you'll be able to do the same thing. But keep in mind the idea of KISS to keep it simple. It's so easy to want to do every good idea out there. And believe me, there is no end to what you can do for the holidays. There's traditions with food. There's traditions with decorations, with family gatherings. You name it, they're traditions. Because if you ever do something 2 years in a row, your kids are going to let you know, "Yep, that was a tradition. Why aren't we doing it this year?" So be careful what you choose for your traditions. So one of the things that we did, and I can't wait to start this with my granddaughter. These are so hard to find, but if you want to find them at Cracker Barrel. These are what we used to call shoelaces, licorice shoelaces. So they will come to about that big of a necklace. And then we'd have the kids do Fruit Loops on it, and they would make their own necklaces. What happens, you know, in a family, typical, I think, is Thanksgiving is such a rush day where you just have all this huge dinner to make and so on, that kids kind of get lost in the day, and you're just kind of saying, no, we're busy. And that didn't resonate well with me. And so that was some of the ideas that I thought of. We could do this. They will eat just as much as they will string. It's okay, it's one day a year. Another thing that I would have them do is make placemats for the company. You can, for any company that was coming, you can buy like plain placemats at a party store, and that keeps kids busy for hours. You give them crayons, they draw. And the other thing that I loved doing with them was making heavy cream into butter. Have you ever done that? It is so cool. You make sure your glass has a lid because you're going to shake it. But you put heavy cream in there, and then you just shake, and the kids will be busy for a while doing that. And at just about the time you think it's never going to happen, you hear like thud, 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 thud. And there you got it. You've got a little ball of butter. It's just a fun thing to do, and it keeps them busy, really. For Christmas, I know it's hard for some of you to sit down and watch a movie because you have so much on your to-do list, but it will pay great dividends to find that family movie that you all like to watch and all sit down and watch it together. Make a family tradition of popcorn or a special treat, s'mores, whatever you choose. That's what you do. In our family, we all decorated the tree. And they each had their own ornaments. I mean, we had family ornaments, and that was fair game, too. But they all started by putting their own ornaments on the tree. Because each year, we gave them an ornament that kind of had something to do with the year. The year our little guy was a shepherd, he got a little shepherd ornament. Our girls were ice skaters. They have ice skating ornaments. And each year it's fun to look at them and just remember how it was. Another thing I love to do is have kids make ornaments. And there's so many easy things to do with that. Like you can buy a Christmas tree, a foam Christmas tree, and buy foam decorations for it. And that will keep them busy for a while. But being interested in child development, what I love about that is the fine motor skill it takes to peel off the back of that foam sticker. And everything you do with your kids, you're really exercising their brains. And so I love that idea. I used to teach two-year-old Sunday school, and we did lots of stickers there. And I was mesmerized by little tiny fingers doing that. It's fun. How about driving around looking at lights? Keep them in their pajamas. Let them get in their pajamas. And make that a family tradition. Now, one of the family traditions that has still carried over is making gingerbread houses out of graham crackers. As the years have gone by, the rules have changed. Before, we had a little milk carton, and they built it around the milk carton, and it really was an opportunity to have lots of candy. But now it's like you can't use any cardboard. You have to construct it all yourself. My kids range in age from 29 to 35. And 3 years ago, we were all home together. And I didn't buy anything. I thought, they're not going to want to do that. And it was like, wait, what? And so I went out and got all the stuff. Now, to make even it worse, not worse, but just kind of crazy, is that they will send pictures of their houses to their cousins. And their cousins will do first, second, third, and fourth. These are adult people. So that's kind of fun because I see the child in them. And we should never lose the child in ourselves. So that's fun. And they've done it in parties that they've had with their friends. And that is exciting too. The first S now is simplify the holidays. Simplify means to make something less complicated and therefore easier to do. So keep repeating to yourself, I do not have to do it all. I do not have to do it all. What your children want most is a mom that is not frazzled. And sometimes simplifying does mean exactly what it says, doing less, but having more time with your children. So for Thanksgiving, I always made food that I knew my kids would like, simple food. You know, I remember growing up as a kid with oysters and onions and succotash. And, you know, like I didn't like any of that. And they were, you know, all day cooking. So I just made what I knew my kids would eat. I decorate in October for the whole fall season. So there's no decorating in October. But one thing, and this is something we did not do, but I've read it since, and I think you're all going to get a little copy of some of these ideas to take home with you. And this is called a blessing mix. Has anybody ever done that? Okay, you mix these things together, and each one has a symbol. Like the bugles, they're shaped like a cornucopia. It's a symbol of our nation's abundance. Pretzels. Arms folded in prayer of freedom sought by those who founded our country, and so on. What a great thing to make this with your children. I mean, they're all dry ingredients. You throw it into a big bowl. But how about then putting it in a fancy bag and bringing it around to your neighbors with this? I mean, we need to get ourselves out there. You know, we need to let them know how we roll. And that was one example. I often had my kids bring things around to the neighbors. They seem to be soft for children. For Christmas, we decorated sugar cookies. Now, I am not a cookie maker. I am not one that gives cookies at Christmas. This is how I simplify my life. But I wanted my kids to at least make some cookies, so I bought the roll of sugar cookies, slice, 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 dole them out. But what they liked was decorating them with different, like, sprinkles and this and that. And I have such great memories of how long it took them to do that. Because they were designing something. Those of you who make sugar cookies and cut them out, You are my heroes, and I think that's great, but that was not for us. Another way we simplified Christmas was there came a time when I realized, when is enough enough? Like, how do you know that this is a good Christmas and so on? So, oh goodness, years ago, I decided, and some of you have already done this, I'm sure, three gifts. Just like Jesus got three gifts. He got gold, he got frankincense and myrrh. So gold was equated to like the big gift, what they really wanted. I remember one year it was Oopsie Daisy doll. And you know, some of you are the ages of my kids now, and I'm like, anybody here want that? You know, we shopped forever for that and, you know, probably paid a full price once that baby started crying. My daughter didn't want anything to do with that Oopsie Daisy doll. So, and then there's frankincense, which equates to the spiritual gift, a Bible, a Christian book, something spiritual, because frankincense was used in worship. And then the last thing was myrrh. Myrrh was used to prepare a body for burial. And so we say that would be a need. So a coat, some boots, a hat, something that they needed. Then I found something on the internet which gives four gifts. And it's cool too. Something you want, something you need, something to wear, and something to read. I think it's cute. But that just puts parameters on it. So that, yeah, you got it. Use the whole month of December. You don't have to be set up by December 1st and have everything ready and tree decorated and everything like that. Take your time if that stresses you out. One of the things that we did was we always made paper chains. Okay, do you do that with your kids? Because every day they can rip one off. But I found a website that has a scripture verse for the Advent. So as you rip it off, you have a verse to read, and it's the story of Jesus. The December 1st says, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city named Nazareth to a virgin named Mary. And so each night they get a piece of that story. We still do chains. We did chains when my husband was on cruise and he was coming back. 3 years ago I made a chain, like a 60-link chain, because my daughter was coming home from the mission field. And I wanted her to see like that it was still important, that she was important, and that we couldn't wait to have her come home, because that kind of equates with the idea of waiting and Advent. And how about combining forces with another family? Every year when we lived here, and we were back and forth with the military, but we would get together with the Hollies, and we would act out the Christmas story, and it's on video. So my fourth-born, Meg, if you know her, you know she was quite a force to be reckoned with when she was a young girl. And she was Mary one time, and boy, she did not want to be told what to do. So we have screaming going on in the background. And one of the older boys goes, I guess she's in labor. So you never know what you're going to get. And the final S is savor the memories. Memories of Christmas began in Bethlehem over 2,000 years ago. Luke tells us in chapter 2, and there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angels, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests. And when the angels had left and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. And when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. This is the part I love. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. Mary took time to reflect and to savor all that had happened. And I think that's a good example for us too. It helps us remember from year to year what's happened before. Savor with pictures. Take a Thanksgiving picture, a Christmas picture, the same place every year and compare. In our family, we are notorious for never taking pictures, or taking pictures very rarely. I guess we're just enjoying the moment. And that's when I have to remind myself, like 3 days later, oh, everybody was together and I didn't get a picture. And then I have to say, oh, I am having a Mary moment. I am going to ponder that in my heart. And that has helped me through a lot of situations that I will ponder and remember. So for Thanksgiving, you know, let's keep a Thanksgiving journal. I didn't start this till like 4 years ago, but I've made two to go out tonight. Each year you can write down what you're thankful for in your family. And then sometimes you can find cool cards at Michael's, little ones that you can put at the place setting and people can write. And when I do that, I just glue them in. That's a fun thing. Just spending time together, you're making memories. For Christmas, how about starting a memory album? And a friend turned me on to this last year, but she keeps this every year. You get your family Christmas card you put in there and a family photograph, and maybe if you do a newsletter, you can put in there. But you can say what you did that year. And they look back on it year after year after year, and they have like 14 grandchildren. So they got quite a legacy in those books. Christmas card prayers. Some of you probably do this, but this was something we did when the kids were young. I didn't do it so nifty in this little thing. I just threw them in a basket, and the kids, you know, one night would pick out one a night. But we would pray for the family of the person that sent us the card. And then I would let them know we prayed for them. Being in the military, we had tons of friends that were not believers. So at least letting them know that we are a praying family and we prayed for you was something that I could do. So we have covered a lot here tonight, but I know there's a lot more that you're going to say at your tables, because you probably all have things to add, things that you do, your traditions, what makes your family your family. So please, very soon, you're going to have opportunity to do this. And I have the names from here. I will just go back and put them down next to the items that you get. And before we close, you'll find out if your name is up here. If not, I have a consolation table. You can pick up something. Everybody's going home with something. So we've got a lot to think about, don't we? Lots to prepare and so many memories to make. But hopefully this year you're going to remember to keep it simple, sisters. Thank you.